Cringeworthy Christophobia. As the Holy Eucharist is blasphemed in the UK, and Rihanna does the slutty nun bit again, the abomination of desolation heats up the holy place. Meanwhile, Russell Brand leads millions in praying the rosary as Joe Biden gets ready to hand us over to the Antichrist. Tonight, traditional Catholics respond with an exciting announcement from the headquarters of the Catholic Counter-Revolution. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground. We have got a big announcement to share with you tonight, a little later in the show. Really excited about this. But first, I want to start off tonight with a quick question, which I guess directly ties into this big announcement that I'm so excited about. And here it is. What is with all of the Antichrist, anti-Christian, cringeworthy, stupid, childish attacks that go on all over the world, all over the internet, 24/7, day and night? What is it? I mean, we're now in 2024. Our brave new world never stops bragging about how enlightened we all are, how we've moved beyond the superstitions of the old order. We've gotten past Christianity and all of that rot. We follow the science. We've grown up. We don't believe in the Bible stories or in angels, heaven and hell, all that nonsense, right? And yet, they never stop talking about those things, do they?
But this isn't humor. This is a hate crime. This is something that's right at the heart of what we believe as Catholics. And it's so precious to us that the mockery of it is as deeply offensive as one could imagine. It is the equivalent of drawing rude cartoons of Muhammad. Why should it always be that Christians can be mocked, but everybody else is entitled to some degree of dignity? Try mocking Muhammad in Iran or Saudi Arabia and see, and tell them it's a bit of irreverence. Try mocking them, the Communist Party in China, and see if they think they have a sense of humor. Try mocking Putin in Russia on the grounds that you're just being humorous. Why should the hate crimes aimed at Christians be the only ones that people are exempt from being responsible for? It's really profoundly offensive, and it should be stopped.
You know, this guy, Dr. Ashenden, for example, before his conversion to the Catholic faith, he was a chaplain for the Queen of England. He's no idiot. He was an Anglican. He's now a Catholic. But he's been around for a long time, in other words. He's not some church lady who can't handle a little joke at the expense of Catholics. But see, the thing is, as he points out, rightly so, this is not a joke, friends. This is not funny, right? I mean, we really have to label it for what it is. This is inherently satanic. It's inherently Christophobic. It is straight up evil. And that, by the way, is why I'm pleased to announce that Dr. Ashenden will be speaking now at the Catholic Identity Conference. This is going to be a humdinger this year. He's going to be at the Catholic Identity Conference out in Pittsburgh in September. So come on and chat with him. Right down here, in fact, in the description, you can click and join. I think there's some seats left for that. Because the thing is, friends, we've got to come together. We've got to come together. We do the Sharp Pilgrimage in a few weeks now, where the social kingship of Jesus Christ is proclaimed loudly for 3 days. You got people that are out there trying to return fire, trying to form an army of God, right? Good things are happening. But we have to ask this really basic question, because sometimes there's a temptation. Well, you know, we like Latin masses, and that's what we're all about. And we do. But really, it's important to put everything that we're talking about and everything that we believe in the context of this massive war that's going on all around us. A war for civilization, over civilization. How is this going to end? Is this the ultimate dethronement of Christ the King? Are we going to even survive this as Christians? I'm talking about physically survive it as Christians. What is it all about? What is it about Christianity still in 2024 that the enlightened ones are still so afraid of? Why won't they let it go? So what this tells me, friends, is that the war certainly isn't over. We may sometimes think it is, because it feels like everything Christian is over. We live not only in a post-Christian, but an anti-Christian. Well, it's true. We live in an anti-Christian world. But the thing is, the enemies of the cross are principalities and powers. And we say these things, but I sometimes think we don't actually think about them. We don't actually believe it. But it's true. It's true. They are principalities and powers, and as such, they have long, long memories. These forces put Christ to to death on the cross once before. And what happened? Christianity has been rising from the ashes of New World Orders for millennia. And guess what? These forces right now in the world in which we live in 2024, they fear that it's going to rise again. How about that? If we really believed that, we would begin to understand what's happening all around us. They obviously don't think this is a slam dunk. If they thought it was a slam dunk, they would be ignoring us completely by now. But they're not. They can't stop talking about us. They can't stop acting against us, persecuting us, persecuting our kids. They can't stop. They're getting desperate. Otherwise, just shut up and let us die out. But they won't. They can't. And that's why we see it everywhere around us. It's only getting worse. There's some delicate young thing, Walter, called Rihanna. I don't know what Rihanna is. Yep. You know, some sort of a singer. I don't know when she was big or how big she is or whatever. I don't care. But there's Rihanna now. She's out there. She's doing the old slutty Catholic nun bit again.
She recently had this photo shoot dressed as a slutty nun because there's literally nothing else you can come up with. For some reason, these pop stars, they never say, you know what's a great idea? Let me mock Islam, for example. Let me dress as a slutty hijabi. Let me put on a hijab or a niqab, but make it promiscuous. They never do that. Hardly do we ever see these celebrities go out and mock Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. So this kind of blasphemy and the sexualization is totally fine as long as it's with Christianity. And it's showing her audience, especially the younger girls that follow her, right? It's totally fine to mock religious figures. And this is the funny part, because they always claim to be feminist, right? And then you are dehumanizing yourself, objectifying women in these religious roles. For what? For some attention? Who is the target audience here? Christians you're trying to mock? She has money, or even if she wanted more fame, more money, whatever, you had to dress as a slutty nun.
No, that's just it, friends. I mean, it reminds me, back when I was a kid, it was Madonna parading around with crucifixes around her neck and dressing up like nuns and doing crazy stuff like that to mock our Lord, right? A few years later, we had the Lady Gaga thing dressed up as a nun. Yes, seriously ask the question, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Are we looking at a demonic manifestation? Oh, I think so. I think it's safe to say that we are. Everywhere you look, it's open season on Christ, on Christianity. Now, last week, we showed you this guy who was out there trashing Christianity.
2,000 years of suffering came to the world. Christian Inquisition, Spain, Portugal, Holocaust, pogroms, from a dream of a prostitute who cheated on her husband. That's it. From that, 2 billion people today follow this idol.
Well, that's nice. Thank you very much. You know, that's just wonderful. Just mock the living daylights out of other people's religion. Isn't that nice? And fantastic. This enlightened world of ours, isn't it great? But that was last week's guy. This week, we got another clown. This guy, only his problem is, he's inside the Catholic Church. Let that sink in a little bit, folks. Just check this out. Do you think anybody in that room, that church, believes that that is the creator of the world in that monstrance? What are they doing? What are they doing? This, in my opinion, is far more offensive than the stupid potato chip commercial. And yet that's happening in the holy place. That's the abomination in the holy place. Why? Once again, why? Why are they doing this? It's an allegedly a Catholic priest making a mockery of the Blessed Sacrament inside a Catholic. Why? And the thing is it selling anywhere? Every time somebody sends me one of these clips, I always look for the part where the camera pans out a bit and we get to see people in the church. And most of the time, church is empty. Five or still smattering of some old ladies sitting there. I don't even know what they're doing there. In other words, this isn't even selling. And out in the mainstream, culturally, philosophically, whatever, in media, every serious person in the world, academia, every serious person in that world, Catholic or not, is looking at this stuff and they're going, what the hell?
And the problem is this. They go, oh, well, they won't really get it, you know, so we must do away with the Latin Mass. We must do away with ritual. We must do away with the core beliefs we have and say, well, basically anything goes, and make it more like being at home in the sitting room. Mm-hmm. But the reason you go to church is not to be at home in the sitting room. You can do that by doing nothing. But once you start having motorbikes and whatever in the church, it's not... You know, in Canterbury Cathedral, they put on a rave. Coloured lights and people... dancing and all
did they
that.
Have a golden calf on the altar? Just curious.
You see what I'm saying? You don't even have to be a Catholic to see the absurdity of it, to see that it's dying. Jordan Peterson's wife just converted to the Catholic faith, right? Coming into the church. So the divine element, once again, is still there. People understand what's happening. It's revolution in the church, in the human element, that is alienating everyone who's normal, everyone who's sane. So why haven't they changed anything up? Why aren't they going back to the drawing board here? Because it's the same attack on Christ, on Christianity, on the mystical body of Christ that's going on here. The woke Vatican is positively tripping all over itself lately, right? Trying to crush the old, literally now, hocus pocus Latin Mass, right? Hocus pocus. That's from Hocus Unum Corpus Meum. That's from the Mass, from the consecration. They treat it like it's some kind of a goofy thing now, just the old Latin Mass. That's ridiculous. That's from the Dark Ages. We don't have to take that seriously. We got to get rid of that. In fact, it's so bad, it's destroying our little experiment. It's destroying unity in the Catholic. Why? Why are they doing that? If it's all bunk, why are they so concerned about it? So what's the problem, friends? Why are the revolutionaries in the church and in the state so terrified of all of this stuff, whether it's nuns or Holy Communion or the old Latin Mass of Christendom? You know, why are they so terrified of it? When you look around you and everybody can see something's wrong, they can see that the world is on fire. We now see people dropping like flies all over the place, right? This new world order of ours, people literally just falling over dead all over the place. Children being corrupted in such a foul way, I don't think anyone could ever even have imagined it back in pagan Rome times. You know, so foul, the corruption, the overt corruption of kids on purpose. Just the other day, Remnant TV, one of our videos, got censored again by the watchdogs of virtue over at YouTube. You can throw that up on the screen, that little email I got from the folks at YouTube. It says, we have reviewed your content and determined that it may not be suitable for viewers under the age of 18 per our community guidelines. As a result, we've age-restricted the following content. Now, you might say, well, wow, it must have been really offensive. What, Remnant TV, what'd you guys do? Well, here's the offending video.
Luckily, I have been able to find my faith. And in my faith, I now carry my rosary while I'm on patrol. So if I start to feel overwhelmed, break it out. I unsheathe the sword. So I break it out and I go into a nice quiet corner. I usually find a Catholic church and I'll park the police car for about a good 5-10 minutes and just say a couple prayers. And, you know, if I can get at least a decade of the rosary in.
Now, I would encourage you to watch that entire video. This is just a solid cop, a good American, New York City Catholic cop who's got it all together, who's all just perfect for that job, you know? A really good man. But at YouTube, they got to hide this video so the kids don't see it. And if you want to know what he's all about, by the way, again, you'll have a chance to meet this great guy, Sergeant Hipple. At the Catholic Identity Conference, he will be speaking at this year's Catholic Identity Conference as well, which now we've decided, I don't remember if we announced this last time or not, but we've decided to dedicate the entire Catholic Identity Conference to the social kingship, the social reign of Jesus Christ, for obvious reasons. It's all in the news again. Not because of anything that traditional Catholics particularly did, but because a lot of other people outside the wall are waking up to the importance of Christ the King. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, let's just get back to this video for a second. Think about it. Sergeant Hipple, according to the most powerful video platform on earth. I remember when I was in Catholic school, they would bring guys like Sergeant Hipple into our classroom. Father would bring him in and introduce him to the kids, and we would sit there and he would talk about law and order and being good and, you know, good citizens and good Catholics. We, you know, the police were held up on pedestals. Well, now, fast forward 2024, And the most powerful video platform on earth sees a cop like that as a threat to children, with his rosary in his hands and his commitment to die for people in the streets who are suffering, who are in trouble, who don't have the benefit of law and order anymore. That's got to go. But now this guy, according to the most powerful video platform on earth, is just fine.
Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm so happy to be here today. Is anybody 3 years old here?
Me.
I'm four. Okay. Who else? Who else is four?
I'm 4 years
old. I know you've seen it before.
Oh, wow. Who's
but look
five?
At it again.
Is anybody
we
six?
Have to. We have to ask ourselves what
seven?
Is going on here. 3 year
Eight?
Olds? 4 year olds? Somebody's lining them up in
this
a library to do that?
Spoon.
What other than Luciferian corruption of children
awesome.
Is that? What else would you call that? Doing that to kids. The ones that happened, again, to make it past the abortuary here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. What kind of monsters have we become, and are we getting used to it? Are we getting used to seeing that sort of thing? Those are demons, you know. And what's happening because of that? Well, a country that cannot even protect its little babies, cannot protect, has no desire to not only not to protect the little children, but is actually taking measures to destroy them, to destroy their innocence, and destroy their souls. What kind of a country is that? Has there ever been a country like this in the history of the world? And you can see the results, the consequences of this, as we rot from within. The folks in charge of the world prepare to lock us all down once again because we do not have the moral strength to stand up and resist.
For many months now, the internet's been full of people talking about the pandemic treaty planned by the World Health Organization. That would absolutely commit us to spending lots of money preparing for the next pandemic and give them the power to order lockdowns, tell us what vaccines we could use. It is literally a globalist treaty that takes away the power of the nation state to do stuff. And look, given we've learned lockdowns didn't work, that actually Florida and Sweden got it right, I never want us to be anywhere near that again.
Yes, but, says Dr. Ted over the past few days, and he says, you know, that's never going to happen. We've added a little clause, you know, to the treaty, to the pandemic preparedness treaty, promising to protect your sovereignty.
The countries who are negotiating, they have included a statement, or a text saying WHO will not have this whatever, or not only WHO, but they say the WHO and the Director General will not have this power or will not affect the sovereignty, this agreement will not affect sovereignty. I'm glad that it's clearly put in the document now, because anybody can see that it's not true.
Well, that's good to know, Dr. Ted. So if that's the case, why do we need your stupid treaty? Why do we need that? And if that's the case, why is this still happening in D.C. this week?
President Biden is planning to cede the sovereignty of the United States of America to the internationalists and the World Health Organization. The ability to decide between you and your doctor what medicine you take or do not take, whether you wear a mask or not, whether you leave your home and where you go is all potentially being ceded by this president of the United States based on a signature. Subverting and disregarding the Constitution of the United States, bypassing the Senate, saying it's not a treaty, doing the exact same thing that President Obama did with the Iran nuclear deal.
So last week was an example of us trying to start a conversation. It has to happen. But I assumed that everybody in this audience understands that we understand that we are not looking at something like Donald Trump as a spiritual savior. You know, we're not looking to that anymore. That's not even possible. You see, we're looking for opportunities to have the army of God have a chance, get a foothold to fight. That's what this is all about. It's not about electoral politics. It certainly isn't about the two-party system. I like Republicans. I like Democrats. That's just crazy. That's just entertainment for children. For the most part, voting is a suggestion box for the slaves these days, right? And of course, at the Remnant TV, we've always known And what we're facing right now, what we're engaged in right now, is a holy war. It always has been, and it always will be. But we're in this situation, and we have to learn, we have to figure out how to make the best of it, how to fight, right? And that's what we're doing here on this show every week. But the American president, God bless him, whoever he is, is constitutionally bound to reject the social kingship of Christ. You understand? That's the way it works. So we're not looking to any American president as the champion of the kingship of Christ. If we're going to fall in behind, he's going to save us. The best we can hope for from one of these guys is that he will simply be American enough to sort of push for laws that at least don't incarcerate Christians and castrate children and slaughter babies quite to the extent as the other guys want to do. You see? So when it comes to elections, personally, what am I doing? I'm looking to the survival of my children. That comes first. The survival of my children. In a sense, I'm not even voting for the candidate as much as the demographic that he's going to empower. And let's face it, if Joe Biden gets in, who's the demographic? What is it made up of? Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Planned Parenthood, you know, and just a horde of castrated, cross-dressing... Yeah, Dylan Mulvaney's. That's it. Right? And what are they going to do to my kids? And I have a right to think about that. So I'm looking to keep my kids. I'm keeping my kids in a homeschool. I'm looking to keep my kids out of that library we just showed you. I'm looking to keep them out of the Marxist classrooms of America with their masks and their shots and their brainwashing. And I have a right before God, a duty, to do whatever I can to keep them out of that situation. So yeah, I'm looking at demographics. Which demographic is about to be empowered to subject my children to a satanic lockdown of soul and body? And I'm talking about born children now. We do have a right to vote in defense of the children who are already born, don't we? We're not just talking about party politics. We're not talking about party politics at all anymore. Republican Party, are you kidding me? You think I voted for neocon pro-life George Bush? Before he went and blew the world up, got us in a situation that we're in now, claiming to be pro-life. Party politics, those days are long gone, friends. We're beyond that now. We're in occupied territory, behind enemy lines. So what we're talking about is self-defense. What we're talking about is survival. And again, not just of unborn babies, but of our born babies, whose lives and souls God himself has made our first responsibility. But what they want to do in this country over the next few years is take our children, brainwash them, castrate them, and make sure that in the end, they're damned to hell for all eternity. And we have a right to vote to do the best we possibly can to make sure that doesn't happen. It's not just abortion anymore. The left has been using that issue like a millstone around the necks of the good guys for a long, long time. And I think it's time we take that millstone away from them. These demons want the blood of our living children, right? They want to commit physical, moral, and spiritual genocide. It's time to elevate our discussion, our debate, our game plan, our strategy. Because no man, no politician, no president can save us from demons with a death wish like that against children. And so the question is, friends, what can we do to leverage the minimal influence that we've got against people who want to legislate the destruction, not just of the unborn, but of the born? What can we do as able-bodied Christian men and women? What can we do to buy time right now for the good people who finally, I think, are waking up that they've been had? Good people are finally saying, holy cow, we really are up against demons now. You know, the only way back is to sort of claw our way through the darkness following the light of God, right? That's the only way back. They're seeing just hints of that light and trying to find it. And I think it's our job to take the traditional Catholic truth, the doctrine, the dogma, the kingship of Jesus Christ, and to try to bring people into the light, to engage, to bring them closer to the light, so that all of us together can fight back. And you know what's happening, friends? And this should be such a consolation. There's a quickening going on. People are intrinsically sort of following the light.
We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to chant the Holy Rosary. Now, I don't know all of the prayers, like it begins and ends with certain prayers. But today we'll be looking at the chant itself. As you can see, you use the Rosary. This one was given to me by my mate Joe, who said that even though the crucifix is broken, Christ remains intact. You'll note that there are 5 sets of 10 beads with little interruptions. Now, I know that you chant Hail Mary on each of these, and you chant Lord's Prayer and Glory Be on the interstitial pieces. You can join in with me if you choose to, or you can just listen. Plus, you can add the additional beginning and closing prayers, which I don't know so well. Let me know what you think of this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
No. What are we going to make of that? Do you think I'm telling you need to follow, you know, Russell Brand to the four corners of the earth? No. But you want to call him a troll? Is that all you got? He's a fake, Michael Matt. He's a fraud. He's a phony. I can't believe you're falling for that. Really? Do you think that since he spent, so many of these guys, his age especially, since they spent the vast majority of their lives without any moral guidance whatsoever from the Catholic Church, that they had to muddle through the sex and drugs and rock and roll revolution for all of their lives, now they're a little diabolically disoriented, right? Where have we heard that before? Yeah, they're diabolically disoriented, as we all are. But is that their fault? Where were they supposed to find the means to occupy the high ground in the world of the past 50 years, with the Catholic Church in chaos, right? And it's just, I don't know, I just to dismiss everybody as a troll and fake and, you know, just trying to get clicks, that's a little bit too easy for me. Because maybe, just maybe, friends, since we've broken our own covenant with God, maybe God is touching people's hearts in unlikely ways and in unlikely places. Ways and places that we can't even imagine. Do you know? He's a good God. He's a merciful God. Maybe people are beginning to actually see the light. Just think about it. A guy like Russell Brand. He has millions of followers. And he's out there right now praying his little rosary in front of every single one of them. Since when does praying the rosary get you clicks on the internet? Why would you do that? Why would anybody in their right mind do that, especially in his world? Maybe we're looking at something else here. And maybe it's time for us traditional Catholics, the critics, I'm sorry, but maybe it's time for us to valet park our high horses and go out into no man's land and meet these people halfway. See what's going on. You ever think about that? It's easy to knock them down, criticize them all. Let's face it, moral superiority is nothing more than envy with a halo, right? It's just so easy. Oh, he's rich, he's powerful, he's got all these followers. We think he's an idiot. Is that the best we can do? I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm getting a little tired of that attitude, to tell you the truth. So I'm gonna leave you with this. You know, because we're all struggling. We're all diabolically disoriented, right? The church is fading. I'm going to leave you with this. If the American bishops, or the bishops of the world, the Catholic bishops, if they cannot get off their lower spinal extremities and go out and do something besides fundraise, and something besides worry about climate change, and something besides worry about keeping those borders open, that's all they can do. They can't proclaim the kingship of Christ. No, they can never do that. They can't do a damn thing to lead these poor souls out of the valley of darkness and say a word about that. They just sit there with their little voices and they talk so gentle. Good morning, how's everything going? Right? They have nothing to say. Totally emasculated. If that's the way it is, well, maybe it's time that we go stand with the guys who have the guts to say the things that matter. The people that have the guts to say, oh, for example, Christ is king. Oh, gee, I sure hope that isn't anti-Semitic. It's not. And I'm thinking of one in particular who's been in the news a lot lately, Candace Owens. She sang The Christ is King. You know what? She sang it out loud. Should we tear her down because she's not quite one of us yet? Is that a good idea? Because at the same time, as she is obviously coming to this incredible awakening, she's asking all the right questions, the questions that most of the guys with the white hats are afraid to ask, questions about NATO expansion over in Eastern Europe, question about the media's narrative on Russia, questions about the media's narrative on Israel and the Gaza genocide, for example. And when it comes to the moral questions, she's more than just asking questions. She's actually coming right out and saying abortion and contraception are abominations before God. She's condemning them. She's condemning these things like the Catholic Church used to do, condemning them like some modern day Joan of Arc.
I literally have $9 in my bank account. And I thank God for those moments, especially in the retrospect. In fact, thanking God in the retrospect is why I never doubt him now when I'm suffering.
Amen.
No matter what's going through, is because the lesson of my life when I was a liberal and I fell away from the faith and I was embarrassed about my grandfather's and my grandmother's faithfulness and I fell into the world and worldliness and the secular habits, I was miserable and I was angry at God. I was like, why me? Why couldn't I come from a rich family? You know, why couldn't I, you know, have money? Why can't you make things easy? It turns you into a little Marxist, right? And then when I started going back from where I started, you know, what my grandfather's lessons were, what actually wealth is, because it isn't money, you know, it's family, it's security, it's clear thinking. There were so many blessings in my life. And now I realize, oh my gosh, it sounds ridiculous to say this. God's a genius, right? It sounds so ridiculous and patronizing to say God is a genius. But every single place that he put me, every bit of suffering, now when I speak on authority,
you
right?
Praise it.
Yeah, I'm like, you are just so smart, God. You're a genius. Oh, I hate to say it, so patronizing to you, but you know it, you know.
Now, I would ask you again, I would ask this audience once again, if it's all just for clicks and that sort of thing attracts clicks, well, we're in good shape. I don't see how we lose here. She's either for real or what she's saying is playing in Peoria all of a sudden in this country. And that's truly amazing. Which is it? She's even out there right now. She's calling for unite the clans. She says Christian nationalism is not and has never been a threat. Our country has collapsed because people who despise Christ removed him from the classrooms, then encouraged atheism and never-ending Protestant sects in his place. They lied about everything. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the Bolsheviks, all of it. This is good news, by the way, because it reveals how much they fear Christians uniting. The time is now. Check her out, excellencies. That's how it's done. That's what it sounds like. That's what you used to say. Do you remember a long time ago? If our Catholic leaders refuse to speak truth to demonic power at a time like this, as people like Candace Owens are now doing, then we Catholics have an obligation. We need to stand up with people like Candace Owens who are doing the job of the bishops for them. And now to my announcement, my happy announcement. I'm thrilled to announce that Candace Owens will speak live and in person at this year's Catholic Identity Conference. And you know why? It's because she's right. Time is running out, and it's running out for all of us. It's time for us to take the social kingship of Jesus Christ out into the highways and the byways and to unite with anyone who's willing to stand with us and stand with Christ the King. So please, this is big. Sign up at the link below and let's get this godly alliance with godly people started once again out in the public square. At this year's CIC, I can tell you this, I will be proud to stand with this young woman who has so much to lose and yet who's willing to risk it all for Christ the King. This is war, so bring it on.